الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا فإنما يسرناه بلسانك لتبشر به المتقين وتنذر به قوما لدا. وكم أهلكنا قبلهم من قرن هل تحس منهم من أحد أو تسمع لهم ركزا. صدق الله العظيم.
As in our past session, we were talking about Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And today I recited some ayahs in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the difference between the virtuous people and those who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as far as the virtuous people are concerned, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe in Allah and perform the good deeds, سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ, Allah will put their love in people's heart. And what can be a better example than these Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in? That it has been more than 1400 years and we feel the love of those people in our hearts. In fact, the love of those Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in in our heart is, and it should be, more than the love of any other person around us in the world. Because they served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That love is because of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, that those, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ, those who love my companions, he loves them because he loves me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ, and those who hate Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, they hate them because they hate me. But they cannot come up front and say that they do not like Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they will start accusing Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. If you take all the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in out of this deen, then how much of Islam is left? So, when we talk about these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَيَّجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ, Allah put the love in people's heart. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ, how many people we have destroyed in the past. هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, do you see anyone of them? Do you hear anything about them? أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا, they are all destroyed, they are all gone. This is the difference between Iman and Kufr. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us a rule of a life. If you want to be remembered, you have to do something good in your life. Because we all can understand it very well. Good is something that stays back. Good always stays back. So therefore, if we do something good, it will stay back. Bad is something, even if it will stay, people will remember the person with curses. That he is the one who did this bad thing. Will always bring the curses back to the person. And when we talk about virtuous people, as Muhaddiseen have narrated saying, عِنْدَ ذِكْرُ الصَّالِحِينَ تَنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةِ عِنْدَ ذِكْرُ الصَّالِحِينَ تَنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةِ When you remember the virtuous people, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the hearts. And of course, if we cannot have the company of those great people, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, Muhaddithin, Fuqaha, Mufassireen, and the virtuous people of the Ummah, at least by talking about them, we might be able to develop some of their love in our hearts and some of their qualities might turn into our lives. We talked about Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu and many of his qualities in the past. I would like to, inshallah, very briefly go over some other qualities than that we talked about. And inshallah finish the subject of Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu and move on. The first thing that I would like to start with today is well, we all know that Umar radiyallahu anhu was a very brave person. And because of his braveness, before Islam he was one of the worst oppositions of Islam. And he was beating up those people who would enter into Islam and torture them more than anyone else could do it. Because of his strength, his power. There were only two people, according to the histories, who had that type of strength and similar type of body and similar type of look. Khalid bin al-Walid radiyallahu anhu and Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And it says in the Tafsir in the history that they were so tall that when they used to sit on a camel, their feet will be touching the ground. And talking about their strength, it says about Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu in Futuh al-Sham, which is written by Imam Waqidi rahimahullah, that in one of the occasions, the commander-in-chief of the army from the Roman Empire, he made a plan to kill Khalid radiyallahu anhu, because they all were afraid of him and they thought as long as he's there in the Muslim army, we can never take over them. So we have to do something to take Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu away from them. So the plan he made was that he invited Khalid radiyallahu anhu for a meeting and he said, it should be only me and you because I would like to talk to you about something very private. And at that time, the plan was, there was a rock, a huge rock at that point where he set the meeting. He had about five of his people hiding behind the rock. And he said, I'm going to have a meeting with him and at the end, I will get up and as a respect to him, I will show him a lot of respect during the meeting. At the end, I'm going to hug him and with time I hug him, I'm going to hold him strong so you people come and attack on him right away. So this is how we can kill him. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was intelligent too. And especially when you're in the battlefield, you have to consider all of these situations. Some of the other Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in who knew the attitude of those kuffar, they said, Khalid, we advise you not to go. Khalid radiallahu anhu said, I know that this is a plan, but I'm prepared for it too. How? He said, I know it. And he went there. And they had the whole meeting. And he wanted to take his confidence during the meeting. And this is all he was doing. Talking to him so nicely, admiring him, and showing him that we are thinking of canceling all of these battles. We are not going to have wars anymore. And just trying to take his confidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed these sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in with a lot of intelligence. He knew what he's trying to do. And at the end, it was the same, he did the same thing according to their plan. He hugged Khalid radiallahu anhu. Imam Waqidi rahimahullah narrates that when he hugged Khalid radiallahu anhu, and he held him strong, and he called his people, come on, let's get him. Khalid radiallahu anhu was so strong, he squeezed him so hard that he died right there. He squeezed him so hard that he died right there, and then he said to the other people, do you want to go with him too? And they did not even arrive there by the time that person was down on the ground, and they all left and went away. It was something that we can only call it a karama. Karama means prophets perform miracles. And the followers of prophets, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept those people for the sake of their deen, He makes unusual things go through their hands. He makes them do things that are very unusual for normal people. So that people at least can realize that these people are following the right track. So if anyone has any chance of coming into the hidayah, into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can see those people and come back to the right path. So I was saying, with all of this strength, to be humble and simple is very difficult. If a person has some of these qualities that will make him better than others around him, it's extremely difficult to be very humble and simple. And Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in say that Umar radiallahu anhu was always very simple and very humble, and after becoming Amirul Mu'mineen and after becoming the Khalifa, no one was more humble and more simple than Umar radiallahu anhu. One of the Sahaba says, I saw him giving a khutbah on the day of Jum'ah, having his best dress that he had, having 12 patches on his dress. 12 patches on his dress. One day some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in gathered, and they had a meeting about talking to Umar radiallahu anhu. Now Umar, You're working so hard for the Ummah, but at least you should eat good, because with all of this hard work and you're not eating enough, you are not eating good food, this is affecting your health very badly. And the second thing is, you should accept some new dresses from Khilafah every year from the Baytul Mal. Number three, we would like you to have a better mattress at your home, because when we went to your home and we saw your mattress, at least you should have a better mattress for yourself, because you have wives, you have children, and you should use better mattresses at your home. After having this meeting, they did not talk to Umar radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu was part of that meeting, and he suggested to them that Umar is not going to accept it from us. Let's go and talk to his daughter, Hafsa radiallahu anha. Because Hafsa radiallahu anha had two positions in the mind of Umar radiallahu anhu. One is his daughter. The second is, she's his mother, Umm al-Mu'mineen, wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gives us a lot of respect. They went and talked to Hafsa radiallahu anha. Hafsa radiallahu anha, she went and she talked to Umar radiallahu anha, and she said, Dad, some of the very virtuous people of Quraysh and Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are concerned about you, Dad. And they would like you to get something, perhaps better food, have better dress, have a better ride, and get some new mattresses for yourself, because all the other people have something better except for you and some other people. So they would like you, as Amirul Mu'mineen, as a person who's serving them, that they would like to take care of you and they would like you to have something better. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Hafsa, I need to ask your opinion now, whose side you are on now, their side or my side at this time? She said, Dad, I don't think anything wrong with accepting all of their offers. They're not asking you to change deen, to change anything. They're only asking you to have some little better dress, better mattress, better ride. That's all. Better food. So I said, Hafsa, then I have some questions to ask you. Hafsa, tell me, what was the best food Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever ate? She said, the best food that I would remember eating at my home was, one day we made a bread, and that day we were lucky to have some honey and butter with the bread. So we ate the bread with the honey and butter. That was the best food we had. Hafsa, then tell me, how many dresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had? She said, he had only two dresses, one that he normally used to wear day-to-day life, and the other one that he would keep it for Jum'ahs and Eid. So Hafsa told me about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mattress. She started weeping. She says, don't remind me of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mattress was made out of a skin, sheepskin, and we filled it with some leaves. And there were so many holes in it that one day I said to myself that it's only folded, and even after folding it, there are still holes that you can see the ground from it, and the dust comes from underneath it. So therefore, one of these nights I decided to have it four folds. And I folded it up four folds and put it down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the morning asked me, Hafsa, did you change my mattress? I said, no, ya Rasulullah, I did not change it. It was only that it was folded double, and now I made it four folds so that it will become more comfortable, and these, you won't see the holes in it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hafsa, put it back the way it was, because it made me sleep more than I normally sleep because of the comfort of it. Just put it back the way it was. He did not oversleep, which means he did not miss tahajjud. He did not miss Salat al-Fajr. It was only that he slept more than that he normally would sleep. Hafsa, pick it up. Put it the way it was before. Hearing this, Umar radiallahu anhu started weeping, and he said, do you want me to follow those people, or you want me to follow these people? Oh Hafsa, let me follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I started my journey with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They both left me and went. I just want to continue on the same track as long as I don't leave this world and go and see these people over there. If I change my lifestyle, I may not be able to see them over there. I just want to be the same place they are in now. When Umar radiallahu anhu went to Palestine, Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhi majma'in said, oh Umar, please, instead of your camel, take a horse at this time, because you will be visiting the leaders of the Roman Empire. So please take a horse. Imam Ibn Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi had narrated, Umar radiallahu anhu looked at the horse. It was a beautiful horse. Then he looked at Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in and he said, I'm surprised how fast you people are changing. Did you people forget that all of the help does not come from here, pointing towards the horse and the other things, the weapons they had? All the help comes from there, pointing towards the heaven. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at what I'm riding on, whether it's a horse or a camel or a donkey, whatever I'm riding on. If he loves what in my heart, and he loves my deen and my iman, the help is going to come, whether these people like it or not. And if he does not like what's in my heart, then he doesn't care about my horse. Let me just ride my camel. At another occasion, it reminds me, when they conquered the Roman Empire, and the crown of the king, his dress, socks, a lot of things of his personal use, they were sent to Medina Munawwara. And of course, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in knew that Umar radiallahu anhu would never use this for himself. But they were hoping that he's going to give it to some other people to use it. Go ahead and use it. Whoever wants to use it. When it was brought to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu gathered some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in and he gathered a lot of tabi'een, those people who came into Islam after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. He wanted to now test their iman. He wanted to see what type of faith they have. So after bringing all of those things, he put it there and he asked them, look how beautiful these things are. That's that they started admiring it. Umar radiallahu anhu said, don't you people like it? Isn't it beautiful? They said, yes. He said, can you imagine now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send these things to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to use them? He gave them to a kafir to use them. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see it on our bodies? Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in started weeping. Tabi'een realized that this is iman, this is faith. That seeing the reality behind it. He's looking at a dress that people think is old, but that was the dress that was on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loves that dress. He sees another dress that people will look at it and say is beautiful, but he sees the body that was wearing it and he says, it means nothing to me, it's garbage. Then he started weeping and he said, Ya Allah, you did not send these things to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You send it during my time. Ya Allah, I know that you are putting my iman to test. But please, Ya Allah, make me successful in this test. And Ya Allah, let me just go and act with it the same way as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have dealt with it. Then he started selling it. He sent it out in the market and said, sell it to whoever he wants, or whoever wants to buy it. And after having said those words, there was no one in the market who wants to buy that dress because people have no value of it. They are now looking for the dress, the type of dress that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing, because all the value is for that now. No one wants to buy those. So finally, they had to cut it into pieces, break everything that they got from there into pieces, and started selling it individually in pieces so people can get the pearls out of it, get the threads out of it, get whatever out of it they can, and then we'll use it for us in a different use. This is a history. Those are our ancestors. Those are the people that we are following, we are supposed to follow. If you look at our iman, it goes back to those people. They are our ancestors in our deen and our iman. They are our leaders for our deen. They are our teachers for our deen. And they are the models for our deen. In one of the occasions, a person came to Umar radiallahu anhu and he started admiring Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu said to that person, now a person would come and admire me here. MashaAllah, so nice in this. We'll say, Alhamdulillah. I'll feel so nice about it. So glad that people are admiring me. When that person started admiring Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to him, brother, stop it. أَتُهْلِكُنِي وَتُهْلِكُ نَفْسَكُ. You are destroying me and destroying yourself also. Let me just continue doing whatever I'm doing. Let me keep on throwing hard. I'm not doing because of your admiration, so I'll do it anyway. You don't need to admire me to continue doing this good work. Because he was afraid by these people admiring him. He might feel too good about himself. As soon as you feel that you have done something too great, you lost everything. If we start feeling that I did something better than anyone else would do it over here, that's it. That's the end of this story. For that reason, once Umar radiallahu anhu, in his khutbah, he was giving a khutbah, and that Jum'ah's khutbah was everything about himself. That, oh people, I was a shepherd before coming to Islam, and mentioning all the things that he was doing before Islam. After he came down and after Salah, people asked him, Umar, what made you do all of this? He said, because people admire me a lot and people look at me as Amirul Mu'mineen, Khalifatul Mu'mineen. I wanted to put myself down. I wanted to put myself down so people will realize that as you see me Amirul Mu'mineen at this point, I wasn't Amirul Mu'mineen all the time. So I'm considered about the past of my life and I'm afraid that Allah will judge me about those things. Once Umar radiallahu anhu went to Umm Ayman, the woman who took care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he passed away, after his mother passed away. She was the only woman with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or only person with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the time when his mother passed away. he went to Umar radiallahu anhu, went to her and he said, "Can you please advise me?" She said, "Umar, I know you since your childhood. When you were young, people used to call you Umayr. People who know the language and the rules of the language, they know that Umayr is tasghir, which means Umayr means small Umar. So when you were young, people used to call you Umayr. As you grew up, people started calling you Umar. And now they call you Amir al-Mu'mineen or Umar. Don't run after these names. And don't worry about what people would say. You are the same person as you are Umayr, and now then you are Umar, and now you are Amir al-Mu'mineen. Allah will judge you according to your deed, whether you are Umayr or Umar or Amir al-Mu'mineen." Once Umar radiallahu anhu walking on the streets of Medina Munawwara. A person is reciting Quran al-Kareem. He loved that recitation. He loved the recitation of Quran al-Kareem. He stood there and started listening to that recitation of Quran. As the person was going on with the recitation, he was reciting Surah Al-Ahzab. And he came to the ayah of Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Those who hurt the feelings and who hurt the mu'min men and women, without those people, without these men and women, without these mu'mineen committing any sin, it's not their fault, and these people will keep on accusing them, will talk about them, will hurt their feelings. So the people who will take part in it will hurt the feelings of these believers. They are committing a major sin. As soon as he heard these ayahs, he started weeping. He went to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'een, the great Sahaba like Abdurrahman bin Auf, Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and he said, "I heard this ayah of Quran. It really have took my heart away. I'm thinking, did I do something to hurt any of the believers? If I have done something like this, please watch me very closely. And if I have hurt the feeling of any of the believers, please let me know. Otherwise, this is the punishment." وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. That those who hurt the feelings of Muslim men and women, those people are committing one of the major sins in the world. He was afraid that as Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have to give them a lot of instructions, a lot of rules, correct the people. At the same time, he does not want to hurt people's feelings without those people doing anything wrong. Yes, if a person has done something wrong, we have to correct them. And it was his responsibility assigned to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct those people. Umar Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked, after the death of Umar radiallahu anhu, كَيْفَ كَانَ Umar? Can you tell us something about Umar radiallahu anhu? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said, "I will tell you the gist of his life. I will tell you the gist of his life." And the gist of his life was, he was just like a bird. He was like a bird who thinks that there is a net on every tree, and there is a hunter on every street who's trying to get him. This is how careful he was with his deen and iman, that he was afraid any time he might do something that will make him do something wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him accountable for it. Therefore, he was careful at every step of his life. This is why he went from this world just the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went. In the same lifestyle, in the same directions. Never changed his direction after that. These are some of the Sahabi radiallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this tells us that how did these people achieve that level of iman, holding as strongly as they could to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the right understanding of deen. He gave them the real right understanding of deen. They could see the reality behind everything. Most of the times when we see a thing, we don't see the reality behind it. We miss the right message of it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the right understanding of this deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow the sharia of Islam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ways of sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in, and especially al-khulafa' al-rashideen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin wa al-muslimat wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.